and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and well, after another disappointing weekend, last weekend against Crystal Palace, I'm joined by Mick McQuillan, Gary Cotter, and briefly Peter Jones. Didn't have an awful lot to talk about when the subject of the match was discussed this week, but we had a good old discussion about Wolves in general, Bruno, young players, and comments that were made over the weekend. So I hope you enjoy it.
Hey, Tony.
Good evening, Michael. Hey, Gary.
How are you guys?
All good.
Like just a favourite, is it?
Yeah, Paul said he'd try and make it. I think he's not home until 7 o'clock. Yeah, I didn't hear back from Peter at all. I only sent it out this morning, so I didn't hear back from him. So he's probably tied up at work as well, you know. I thought people would be clamouring to talk about the match last Saturday. So I suppose we'll kick off anyway. I suppose our trips over were okay anyway, yeah. We were together on the same flight, Mick. But Gary, your flight was all right, yeah?
We were on the 8:35. Oh, yeah, I mean, what it meant for us was that extra early start. We left the house at 4:30. Normally, you know, it can be 6:30 type of thing. Yeah. So, yeah, that was the main difference for us. But it meant we were in Wolverhampton by 10:45, I'd say. 10:45.
Yeah.
We visited my sister because we had, as you know, we had Ben.
That's right.
My nephew.
Yeah.
My nephew with us, myself and Shane and Ben. So it was an opportunity because of COVID. They hadn't seen Ben I'd say next to 2 years.
Yeah, cheers. I hardly recognised him. He's taken a fair old stretch. Is that you know, he's grown up instead of that boyish lad he was a couple of years ago.
And I went to see him playing rugby on Sunday. They were in a Munster quarter final in Limerick, Mitchelstown versus Shannon Rugby Club, you know, which is Shannon would be a big club in Limerick.
Very
context.
Strong, yeah. How'd they do?
So, yeah, good, and he plays hooker, you know.
Yeah.
He was in the rucks there, he was lashing into it. So, yeah, I was, he's a bit deceptive, isn't he? Yeah, he looks.
And did they win?
To be honest, they got a bit of a battering, but
I was just thinking, Gary, we just found a way to keep Mick quiet, didn't we? Talk about rugby. Hello, Mick, are you still there?
The only hooker I ever heard was a fella in the boxing ring. That's the only one I
interested
in.
I thought you'd say something else now.
Keep it clean.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, it does make a change for you. But, yeah, Ben was telling me, actually, when we were in McGee's, all right, that he was playing the rugby match all right, yeah. But, so actually in McGee's, we had a good old time in McGee's. There was a good atmosphere there before the game. I met Damien Griffiths as well, who is a lad living over there. He's Irish connections, and he's been trying to meet up the last few months. So between one thing and another, trains, delays and all sort of stuff, we never made it. But he made it, and we had a good old chat with him there on Saturday before the game. But I suppose talking about the game itself, we have to.
But just did you meet someone? I remember talking to you before in McGee's, Mick. You met someone travelling over, was it? Was it fans of a I don't know, League Two club or something? Can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
The lad in the airport, the Halifax.
Halifax, that was it. Yeah, yeah. That was interesting. Well, in fairness, fair play, like, wasn't it? He going on.
He came over to have a chat because he's seen the Wolves top, and it was interesting the way he just came over and
Kilman.
He put the mocker on Kilman. He says, will Kilman be playing for the next 3 games? Yeah. I said, unless he gets injured. You know, it's a shoe in. Yeah. You know, well, little did I know what was going to unfold a couple of hours later. he said that he had him in a fancy football team or whatever. And then he just got talking and he was heading over to Halifax. He followed Halifax.
Yeah.
You know, we thought we were bad at, you know.
Yeah.
But he said in all the years they're going, that a couple of years ago there he got to Wembley with the Vaz final, so he said it was fantastic. But it was great to meet a fella like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because he was. You know, and I mean, when you see some of our crowd thinking how bad we're doing and all this, like he was saying, like he remembers back into the 90s and they beat United and City or whatever in the cup, or you know, and I mean, like a club like that, like they're in the conference now, and he was saying, you know, it was great to hear, like you had a big day out at Wembley, like we often had the debate as to, you know, would you rather be eighth in the Premier League or, you know, get to an FA Cup final and be relegated, like, you know, and, you know, win the FA Cup or something, you know, like, it's one of those arguments people have all the time. But, like, yeah, I suppose you're going to have a nightmare football team, I suppose, to put Kilman into after the way things went again this week.
Tony, I had a similar experience the week before at West Ham when we, you know, the game has moved from Saturday to Sunday, so we just changed the flight to come back, but we went at the same time as usual. Yeah. On the Saturday, and I had agreed to meet Steve and Tom and Jaffa and Tim in Epsom, and they're trying to do the 92 grounds. So
again,
the reason they picked Epsom was because it was quite near Sutton.
Sutton, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So we went to Sutton, 3 o'clock kickoff, and we went over to Sutton quite early and went into this pub, and it was quiet enough when we got in there, but after a while, there was a crowd coming in, and it seemed clear that they seemed to know one another. Like, and so I started talking to this fella beside me.
Yeah.
And Sutton were playing Scunthorpe.
Yeah.
That day.
That's right. Yeah.
And I talked to this guy anyway, and geez, I'd say he was 80, if he was a day old, you know. And he travelled down from West Yorkshire. He's a Scunthorpe fan, and he travelled down from West Yorkshire, and he does a lot of games.
Yeah.
And he said that, I said, you seem to know those guys over there. There was, I'd say, 15, 20 guys, like, you know.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah. He said, they're all London Scunthorpe. He says, they go to a lot of the games. He said, but in particular, they come to the, obviously, the London ones, he said.
Yeah, yeah, close boy.
So, and then he said, they sponsor the last game of the season. So they were doing a draw for, you know, to earn a few quid together so that they could afford to sponsor the last game of the season.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, I couldn't, you know, there was at least 20 of them, and they were all ages, and, you know, they were on a good day out. Now they got battered 4-0 and they are bottom of League Two.
Yeah.
And they're in dire trouble, I think, with the owner and all that.
Yeah.
Look, it just goes to show that there's hardcore all around, you know, for every club, almost, I'd say.
Yeah. And I mean, it's good. It's an eye opener, I think, for us, with the way, you know, within touching distance a couple of weeks ago of, you know, top four, and, you know, people have been, you know, nearly suicidal over the fact that we're eighth now, and we might miss out in Europe and that, you know. But it's nice to see, you know, meet like that Halifax guy, your lads from Scunthorpe. It's great to see them, and, you know, and we seem to have more in common with them than when we meet even the Villa lads we met on the train. Jesus, that was painful on Saturday, you know. Well, the two lads we were talking to were okay, but there's a gang behind us, and they were, you know, shouting over about, you know, the big day out, 3-2 and your big day out, this sort of stuff. Like, I mean, typically, I don't know what they're from Kilkenny, I think, or something somewhere. I won't use the word, but beginning with A, but they were a right bunch of them anyway, you know. But we just ignored them. It worked, I think, after about 2 minutes. But yeah, even Mick said quiet. Did you, Mick?
Well, I gave him a bard of was it 2-0? What was the word? Is that 2-0 up, 3-2 down? You know, something like that. But anyway, they went, we couldn't say much on the way back in this, was that way.
Yeah.
Speaking of Villa fans, I'd say on my flight out, I'd say at least 100.
Yeah. Oh, there was a ton of them on the way back as well. And so, but
there was a few Derby and a few Liverpool as well.
Speaking of other clubs, though, it just reminded me on that when we were getting off, the train got to New Street, and there was a few lads getting off. I thought they were Villa, but Mick had been talking to them earlier on. They were Leeds fans, you know. And Mick said they were walking past, and Mick says, "I'll see you, lads. Long journey ahead." And one of them says, "Yeah, to the Championship." Oh, so cheers, you know. So, I mean, you know, you, I don't know. Would you like to see them relegated or Everton or themselves?
I wouldn't. There's a gang of them there. I meet them quite often. They were part of, there's probably 20 of them, and some of them are great characters. You know, they're young fellas too, but, you know, they're real fans, football fans.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You heard them come back on the plane, they were on it, and they're having the crack. But they're nice lads. I've met them so many places in Manchester and all that. But every time I seem to meet you, I think, man, after the match, we've lost.
You know? Oh, gee, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. No exception on Saturday, no. But no, just think with the game itself. But the lineup again wasn't what we thought. We were saying no Dendonker in the team, and we had, you know, a very, very light up front with the setup, you know. So what did you think of it when you saw it?
My thinking was straight off was I was surprised that I presume it's the first time you haven't gone with a kind of a recognised centre forward, you know, this kind of you know, like Man City, no recognised centre forward.
Yeah.
When something like that sprung on you, you're kind to say, well, maybe it will work. I mean, Jimenez is suffering a bit, like.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Silva could have been brought in.
Yeah.
It was surprising. Pedence, Neto and Wang
yeah.
as the front three, what was a bit... I mean, and it wasn't even necessarily Wang in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like Neto in the middle, so I thought it was a little odd.
Yeah, because I thought too, again, like, I mean, Palace bullied us in their place early on the season and won 2-0. And, I mean, it looked like we set up to let them do it again, you know, because... Moutinho and Neves in the middle then, and, you know, I mean, we'd no choice but with Hoover at the right full and probably right back, and probably Marcel, he probably thought was a bit more physical. But, like, we need to be physical all over the pitch, I think, and having, like, even Jimenez or Silva up there and having Dendonker in midfield had to be fucking nailed in to try and combat. Because, I mean, you could see during the game, they overran us, you know, and they forced us into mistakes, which... And sometimes they didn't even force it. We just made mistakes, particularly in the first half. And like we just seemed to be overawed by the whole game. Mick, what were your thoughts on it?
Well, I think the team you picked was Dobson. You know, we were successful, going fairly well up until 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he started messing around with the team.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he just go back to what we had?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, we before the game, we knew we were going to be without Semedo. Now, to me, he had two options. He was going to go with the young fella, what's it called, Hoover, or else, to me, he had a good chance to go with what Gomez, or even with Chiquinho.
Yeah.
And I thought they would have given us a better start, because Palace, I did say before the match here, that Palace have a pace.
Yeah.
And the young fella, he needs a number of games before he can put the speed.
Yeah.
And it turned out, you know, we needed pace on that side, and I definitely, at the moment with Johnny's just not ready yet.
But no.
I definitely bring him into games, but not to start. And why he didn't go with Oid Nouri, I was reading somewhere after that he said Oid Nouri had been sick. Well, Oid Nouri was sick. Why was he in the panel?
In the squad, yeah.
Why was he in the panel? Yeah, because he left fellas out of that squad to put him in. So if he was sick, then he was sick. I don't get that.
Yeah.
I don't read it. Now, I did say earlier before the match kicked off, looking at the team, to me, I thought he had a problem with some of the young players.
Yeah.
When I said Klopp, he seems to prefer the older, experienced players. He's dropping the young fellas to bring these fellas in.
Yeah.
I said that before the game, we really seen what happened after the game, what he said.
Yeah.
But I do not understand that. And my frustration at the moment is, and I'm saying this straight, we have a side that was good enough to get in the top four. And the messing that this man has gone on the last couple of weeks, he's at the killing the chance.
Yeah.
Now, as I said, I went on about Dendonker. I said, we've only lost three games. Anytime he's in the team, we've only lost three games all season.
Yeah.
What has he got? He's dropped them completely out. And that, to me, is criminal.
Yeah.
The two lads we have in the middle, what they call it, Moutinho and what they call it, Neves, they play better when Dendonker's in there.
Yeah.
And that's a fact.
Yeah.
And he needs to go back to there. And what he reminds me, sorry if I've gone on, but what he reminds me about, it's a bit like the game when I'm in the building game. Now and again, I have to get an engineer to look at stuff. When I see an engineer coming on the beat and he's a bag of stuff, I say to him, well, this fella knows three feck all. Because if he knew much about the game, he wouldn't be bringing, he'd have it in the head, not in the boots. Now, this our lad, what's he got on the sideline all the time? He's got a bloody laptop.
Yeah.
So can you not fucking remember what's going on? You know what I mean? And I think he has to change. And that's the third game in the trot. He's come up with absolutely ridiculous, in my opinion, team selection.
Yeah.
And, you know, I couldn't fathom where he's come up with that one. And, you know, then to come around after at the end and then slate, not just, he slated Hoover, but he also slated the young players.
Yeah.
He's completely wrong, because what he needs to do, first of all, is look in the mirror. He's the man that's made the changes.
Yeah.
He's the man that's put the team out. And if he had a problem with Hoover, why had he started him? because he did have options.
Well, I did. I thought, Mick, I thought when he got injured, when he went down, I mean, I think it was you were saying that Cody had said to him, go down on the ground, that he seemed to be in trouble. But he went down. And I mean, even when he was walking off the pitch, he seemed to be, I just thought there was something very odd about it. And he got about 10 yards from the touchline and he stopped and he went to go down again. And he just, like, I was saying to myself, to the lads around me, that there's something wrong with his head, the way, you know, the way he was gone off like that. He wasn't coping with the game or something, but obviously, as we heard afterwards, that sort of, you know, Bruno's obviously now. I mean, I don't know what he would have been doing in training. Was he trying to work them harder? Was he balling them out of it or whatever? But like, I think most people were saying, I don't know what you think, Gary, but I mean, his interview afterwards, there were rumours going around when we were after the game that he'd said awful things, and I mean, even Peter said to us in the airport that, you know, that he threw Hoover under a bus and all that. But I don't know, Gary, what do you think of Bruno's handling of all that?
I don't tend to criticise him too much, to be honest. Like, yeah. At the end of the day, it's with 11 against 11, and some of the, you know, the performances just weren't up to it. Like,
yeah.
I think he's right in that. We don't know. I don't know a lot of the background that's going on there. I mean, I don't know if you remember. None of us went to Arsenal, right? But the panel included Neil Lennon, and at the end of the match, he just said that in the second half, Wolves basically surrendered and handed the initiative in total to Arsenal,
yeah.
And had showed no ambition to win. And that's what's kind of been the situation ever since.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know what the instructions are, but there's something definitely funny going on. I mean, when Hoover went down, it looked like he beckoned over to Cody, the captain, to kind of say, look, I've got an eagle or something like that.
Yeah.
And it looked like Cody just turned around and said, well, fucking lie down then,
yeah.
You know, or go down, right? And then we had a corner, if you remember. We got a corner, and Cody was going into the box for the corner. And I don't know, was Kilman saying, what's wrong with him? And Cody was rant. He was like having a rant. His arms were out and he was, you know, there was something definitely funny going on there. I don't know what it was, but I still think at the end of the day that they're, Kilman's not right at the moment. A lot of the heads are not right. And if there's something going on in the background, I don't know what it is, but I think there is something going on.
Yeah. Well, I
tell you what's going on. In my opinion, what's going on, he's chopping and changing. And he said about the Arsenal game, nobody in the right mind should have took Kilman out of that team playing Arsenal. And we needed, they were always going to overrun it. It was team selection that made the mess. Not fellas' heads. If you, that's my opinion. So look, if you're not cutting the prop, your best team out there against the team, then you're not going to win games. You're going to lose games.
Yeah, yeah. I think.
If it's down to 11 men, Mick, then we've no business in eighth position in the Premier League. If it's down to 11 men and we haven't got a panel, then, you know, we have a panel.
What I'm saying to you is the facts state that we've only lost three games and the Donkers played in that midfield.
Yeah.
They are facts.
We've lost about 10 or 12 games this season. I mean, obviously, Dendonka's not playing. We lost the first three, Mick.
Yeah, so where was he?
But that statistic doesn't count then, really, does it?
No, it does, Gary. What I'm saying to you is, when Dendonka has played this season, we've only lost three games. And it's quite obvious we need a bit of steel in the midfield. And when you take that out and you put two mid... We know this last year, that when you put Machinho, Wimmins, Neves in the midfield, it doesn't work unless you have someone else in there. Now, that's the fact.
Yeah.
Now, I was talking to a Wolves fan there in the airport. It's almost quite regularly. And he said, who does he actually think we are? Manchester City? Playing without a centre-forward. What was that carry on Sunday with no centre-forward?
Yeah.
Now, one would have thought that looking at the game against West Ham, our best performer throughout for that game was, what's it called?
Silva. Silva, yeah.
And he wasn't on the pitch on Sunday.
Yeah.
That has to go down to managers thinking, not players.
Yeah. But I think, yeah,
it is.
He's made some strange decisions in the lab. Now, whether he's just been under pressure with the prize, if you can call top four a prize, but that it was within the grasp, and he was just, I mean, you know, I know Kilman's form has been on the slide for a few weeks, And losing Semedo has probably been just compounded that, because, you know, he's Johnny Hoover. He's the, and I mean, I actually looked at the highlights. I couldn't bear to watch anything since Saturday until this evening, and I watched the highlights. And I mean, we were very ragged down that side. There was one leading up to the penalty. There was a ball going out over the sideline, and Neto, the Palace player, was shepherding the ball out. It was only 10 yards from the end line to get a throw in, and Neto whipped it off and kicked it straight out to a Palace player. The ball bounced around, and eventually it was played in, and Kilman gave away the penalty. But, I mean, they were picking holes all down that side. I mean, even the goal, the first goal, I thought, I was sitting directly opposite, was it Zaha and Saiz near the halfway line? And I said, pushing the back on Saiz, and the pal, I think it was that, flicked the ball on, and then they got the goal. But, I mean, the first goal, if we're talking about incidents in the game, first goal was all the things you want to know about how not to defend. Like, if that was a push in the back, the game went on. But the ball, you know, Cody hoping the ball's going to run out. Yeah. It comes back. Sa was face down on the ground nearly when the ball was flicked back. It bounced off him. I mean, Mikey Burrows on commentary said it was luck. It could have hit Sa and went out. But it was a bit of a shambles, you know, for a team that people were finding it hard to concede goal or score goals against. To see a goal like that, you know, and we've given away cheap ones. The winning goal for Arsenal in the home game was a very sloppy goal, again, from Sa. But, I mean, he's been great all season. Peter, how are you doing?
Good to see you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. We've talked very little about the match, thank God. But what we've been discussing really is about Bruno and his comments about the young players and all that. And I did mention you and what you said about throwing Hoover under a bus. So what were your overall thoughts on the situation with young players and Bruno?
Well, as I said the other day, I wasn't impressed that he would, you know, he's lowering himself now to kind of Mourinho standards, and almost, I think, to deflect away from the fact that he picked such an appalling team without a centre-forward, as Mick says. I just couldn't handle it at all. And funnily enough, there's very little from the game I remember.
Yeah.
There was nothing meant game for me. And I know you've probably been over it, and apologies for being late. In fact, I have to go. I'm going to play, would you believe, tonight. But I thought, for a start, everybody who entered the South Bank was issued with a Valium on the way into the ground.
Yeah.
Because I never saw it as flat from the kickoff as... It was almost like everybody was expecting this kind of a, you know, the way it would unfold, that, you know, it did unfold, and that the crowd weren't prepared to do anything about it.
Yeah.
But that's another... No, I just felt like, overall, we didn't deserve to win the match because we produced the square root of bugger all.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that he's not going to set fire to a young player's career in public before the lad even kind of has... kind of had an opportunity or a series of opportunities over a period of time. And there's lots of young players in the club who are the future of the club. And to listen to the manager prepared to do that to a young lad in open forum, in public, I just felt, whatever respect I had for him, I've lost an awful lot. I have to say, I've lost an awful lot. Yeah, but my old thing was, I would have left Nuno there. I would have given Nuno a bye for last year, with Jimenez missing, with Neto missing for a lot of it, with Jota sold and with Doherty sold. So lots of his goals are... and I would have preferred to see Nuno, you know, continue that fantastic progress we've made since he joined us. But look, these are all for another day. Yeah. For Saturday, it was my birthday. I had a lovely day. Thanks to my daughter. It was great. And the result... didn't manage to spoil it. So I have to say hello and goodbye because I have to go again. But
all right.
We'll meet again, hopefully on a happier occasion the next time.
Villa.
Looking forward to a better result on Thursday, and we'll see. We'll take it from there.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. Listen, thanks a million, Peter. Thanks for popping into us there.
All right. Over. Good luck, everybody.
Enjoy the evening. I hope it's not a tragedy. I hope the play is not a tragedy.
No, well, it's... The beauty queen of Linnan, so good luck.
Lovely. Instead of the Bruno king of Molyneux.
Cheers, Tony.
Hey, I'll see you. Take care.
But Tony, in terms of the game itself, like, I thought almost immediately, within 1 or 2 minutes of the start, it was clear that it was essentially, it was like carrying on from where we'd left off at Selhurst Park.
Yeah.
It was just, they just bullied us and But in fairness as well, they were better than us. Like, yeah. I mean, it wasn't just the bully. You know, it was like Wolves. It was like, oh, hang on. It's like the kickoff had been brought forward half an hour, and they just weren't fucking ready.
Yeah,
it was most unusual, I thought, from that point of view.
That's what I found. Now, I don't know whether I was watching the highlights this evening with a kind of a critical eye after being at the game and watching the performance, but I just looking at, even Neves, I thought the body language and the highlights were, you know, there was a couple of shots he had that, you know, there were lads up at the back of the South Bank kind of ducking out of the way of, you know, but it just kind of looking at, it just didn't seem to have that organisation, that kind of togetherness. And, you know,
Tony, when you go and you change the system and you play with no one up front, for fellas who've been playing the system for years, this is what happened.
Yeah.
It was a mess. Now, the other thing I'm looking at, I'm worrying about is there. Most of the players he has there, just like the word Peter said, are players that Nuno has brought in there and got in there. And I hear fellas saying, but he needs to get his own men in. Well, as far as I am aware, he had two or three four fellas that he wanted in the summer.
Yeah.
They went after him and he spoke to them. And these fellas wouldn't come in to play. Now, there's something wrong. Maybe there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
Maybe his mannerism with them, that he didn't want to get involved. That's unusual. When someone comes into a football club, they normally have a couple of players to bring in, but he couldn't bring anybody in with him.
Yeah.
Now, people were slating Poulsen. Maybe it's not Poulsen's fault.
Yeah.
The other question I have is, he had 8 or 9 months, he came in as a caretaker and he took over and he won the league. Within a couple of weeks of winning the league, he was bitted out. Boy, has he got a problem?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think...
That's my worry, but I hope not. But it could be.
I think we're probably going to find out in the next few weeks anyway, one thing or another. Like, I mean, but what's coming down the tracks from a selection point of view is, and just I had it noted, and just to throw it in there now on top of it all, is that he's stuck with Neves and Moutinho for so long, and Dendonker has been losing out. We think he should be included in the team along with the two of them. But Neves is a yellow card away from 2-match suspension, you know? And he's doing okay at the moment, you know. What's going to happen, which could easily happen against Watford or against Everton, that he gets a yellow card, and then we basically have no midfield. We have Dendonker, who hasn't played a full game for, 3 or 4 games now? And it's looking fairly strange. And as you say, you know, he's
I think you have, Tony, because the again, it goes back to the young fella, like the young lad. You have to go back with 5 in the middle, because that's where you get most best out of dance as well. He's been playing his best football when we got to that system. Okay, so I think you have, but you also have that young fella, Cundle. He comes in and he did well, and that's fair enough.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden he's gone over completely.
You know
what I mean? I just don't see the thinking. Like when he brought him in that time, that was brilliant.
He
needed a game or two just to get over it.
Yeah,
but he is quality. That kid is quality. We need to play to our strengths, and we're not doing that, and that's down. And I know what you were saying about the atmosphere being poorer in the North Bank. I think a lot of people were fairly shook for the second or third game in the trot about the team selection.
Yeah, it is. You know, I don't know, Gary, we all look at forums and Facebook and fans' opinions, and they can be extreme and not, but I think practically everyone is of the same opinion that, you know, he's not picking the right team, you know? Would you think?
What's the strange thing is, like, it's only 3 weeks ago when we were, you know, people were tipping us for the Champions League, one of the Champions League spots. Like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, what's happened in the meantime?
Yeah.
He's changed the fucking system. He's threw it out the window.
But Mick, is that it? I mean, 9 out of 10 teams that get into the, like, that's why you have a top 6. 9 out of 10 teams that get into, even West Ham last year, were in a position to get top 4, and they tailed off at the end and missed out. And they're looking like they'll probably do it again this year, you know?
Our form has been fantastic when we played a particular type of, and I said to her last November, October, November, that eventually would go with a 5. That's what suits what we have at the minute.
Yeah.
And we have some fantastic performance on the road. And we've got ourselves into that position. And what bugs me at the minute is, the reason we're not in there anymore is because of stupid mistakes for the manager. He changed something he didn't need. And Gary said, right, he said 2 or 3 weeks ago, we're flying. And then why did he go change things?
Yeah.
What was the need for change?
Yeah, well, that's my
bug.
Yeah,
you know,
because what I be looking at is like, and I always look at it that a manager picks a team based on his own players, number one, which is fine, and the best team you think you're putting out, but you also have to look at the opposition and who you're playing against, and I think that's what the opposition have been doing more than even their own team. It's been looking at us and saying, how do we stop Wolves playing? And from what I can see, Palace did it. You know, West Ham is press. You know. Put the back three under pressure, and you're laughing. And as I keep saying, I said it every day for the last not how long. You know, if we go a goal down, and the stats were there, I think a couple of weeks ago, 11 games we've gone a goal down, and I think there's only one game where we got anything out of it. You know, and like there you go. You know, the last two games went a goal down, and you know Palace got a second.
You're on about the pressing. You're on about this and that. And the man that does all that is Ndonka. He does more. He covers more space, mileage on that pitch than anybody else. And you take it. That to me is criminal. I've long enough in the game, what coaching and managing, to know you don't do silly things like that. And when you see the man on the sideline with a fucking laptop, he walks around with a fucking laptop. But does he not remember anything? To me, it looks. I have to change this. You know, it was like another fucking episode of EastEnders. You know, another fucking. You know, it's annoying me because I don't give a shit when you said we have a panel there that was good enough to get into that top fucking four. And I don't understand it, you know.
Yeah, I think an awful lot, as you say. Like, I mean, Silva was in against West Ham, had a good game. He's a young lad. Put him back in, physical lad against Palace on Saturday. You know, there's two or three lads there.
I'd have been happier with that.
Yeah, Gomez come in. Would it have been any harm in the last couple of games to, as you say, he threw Cundall in against Spurs, away to Spurs, which Jesus was a phenomenal move. You know, that would have been any harm. Kilman has been in bad form for the last 3 or 4 games. Put Gomez in there, you know, and you know, change things around. But it's hard to know what he's doing. And I mean, the match against Watford next up, I think you're facing the team that, well, they're not up the table as Palace are, but they're very similar to Palace. I think they're a big, strong team that do a lot of running and will put us under pressure again. So how do you think that'll go?
Because Palace have sussed us, right? They've just, like you said earlier, put us under pressure. They know we thrive if we've time and we can pass the ball around. So they stop that. And I think Watford will be doing the same. Yeah. Roy Hodgson is that kind of manager. I think it'll be very tough I think it'll be very tough.
Yeah.
Home or away, it won't matter against them. It'll be very tough.
Yeah.
Again, if we get anything out of it, we'll be doing well.
Yeah, hopefully. And so listen, lads, that's all we have time for today. So great talking to you. And you're not over at Watford, Gary, no?
I'm not going to Watford, Tony.
No.
Like, no.
So, sure, Mick, I'll see you. And I'll see you Sunday as well.
Yeah.
Jesus, I'll be overdosed. Yeah. All right. Good luck. We'll see you, lads.
Good luck.
See you, lads. Good luck.
Well.
Wait. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.